Welcome back to Four of a Kind podcast, where you will learn from real life experiences of amazing women and male allies too, who support our mission to increase women's representation in business leadership. You will hear from founders, investors, startups, corporate leaders, and our own journeys too. We want this podcast to empower you to go start that business, take that big job, and do it with confidence. So join us and exciting guests, and let's figure out what we can do to get there. A quick note before we get started. We recorded this episode earlier this summer, a few months into the pandemic, and it is now airing in September as part of our next series of episodes. The stories you will hear are definitely still relevant, but encourage you to check out the entrepreneurs we talk about today to see the latest on their businesses. We will include their information in the show notes. Hi everyone, this is Kelsey and welcome to this week's episode. First of all, we still hope that you and your loved ones are healthy and safe during this time. We have found it really difficult to avoid conversations about work or career that somehow do not lead back to COVID-19 in some way. So as much as we want to make sure we're addressing lots of different topics on the podcast, there was one piece of these discussions around COVID that we wanted to explore, and that is the impact on entrepreneurs and specifically those in our Four of a Kind podcast community. You've heard from a lot of different guests on the podcast, folks who have started their own companies, who have led the way within bigger corporations, who have worked in the nonprofit space, really a lot of different things that our guests have done. And we really wanted to ask them a few questions about the impact of COVID-19 on their businesses, on the way they work, understand what has changed, and in particular, highlight the bright spots amid all of the difficulty in the recent months. So today we're going to share those anecdotes with you. We had guests that were kind enough to share their stories, and we have some quotes and some notes that we want to share.
It's really interesting because the anecdotes we heard from everyone really put into action the advice we've heard in a number of earlier episodes, pre-COVID world of, you know, going with the flow and finding the opportunities in change rather than resisting change. So if there was a time to take that advice, this is probably it.
Yeah. And one of the things that we should probably also include as we share some of the responses from our guests is probably to highlight the location in which they are located. Did I use the words "in which" correctly there? I tease my husband about that phrase all the time. And also what industry or what their business actually does, because there are certain nuances too, and we can help share a bit more perspective when doing that.
Yeah, great point. All right, so let's get to some of these stories. We asked everyone the same kind of four questions and obviously wanted to hear from everyone in their own words. The first thing we asked was, how has COVID impacted your business? And what changes, if any, have you had to make in the short term? So one of the people we heard from on this was Shruti Joshi, and Shruti is the CEO and co-founder of Compelled. And what's interesting is when we talked with Shruti on a previous episode, we talked a lot about her business Compelled, which is an app which is built so that people can share their experiences with each other. And in that episode, we were talking so much about travel and trips and restaurants and bars. It's kind of funny to think back on this world that, like, right now seems so foreign almost. What Shruti was telling us, and Shruti is based in New York City. She had an experience-based app. So, you know, on first glance, you're kind of like, oh my goodness, how is she managing through this? And it was so great to hear Shruti's feedback to these questions. And I think one of the big things was the way Shruti framed what her product does. I was talking to her so much about travel because that was just something that was so exciting to me. But she was explaining that their app is about sharing experiences. And in this time of COVID, like, we are all have a shared experience. So there's actually a lot that she felt like her platform could give to this time where people could share. Maybe they're not sharing their favorite restaurants, but they were sharing their favorite takeout spots. And people are sharing, you know, their favorite board games to play. And, you know, wish lists of things they might do in the future and books to read and organizations to donate to and support in this time. So I think that has been something for them that
you know, really understanding the core of what they do, and it wasn't about New York City specifically or travel or bars and restaurants. It was really about the relationship between the users on their platform. And I think in that aspect, they've really been able to help connect people during this time.
On first glance, it sounds like, to mix metaphors, it sounds like she's being innovative, or she and her team are being innovative, but it really, like you said, Kelsey, they're drawing back to the core of their business. Mm-hmm. And they're in this time, people need a way to escape too. So someone like myself, I'm in New York City, I might be like, oh, I wonder what people in California are doing, or people in Minnesota. They might be doing other things that can help take me away from being stuck in a New York City apartment, which is just a nice experience too, just seeing what other people are still doing. So yeah. It's a really cool platform.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think it just kind of reframes how we all connect, right? I think when we say we connect with people, I think we jump into physical connections or being physically with those people, right? Getting together, going out to your favorite bars, or flying somewhere like we all did last year when we flew to Miami and a couple years ago to Spain. So it seems like we kind of gravitated around travel and being physically together, as opposed to just, you know, creating other meaningful ways of connecting with others virtually, really.
The one other thing that Shruti actually mentioned in terms of changes and how COVID has impacted her business, and Grace and Michelle, I don't know if you've heard this from other people you've talked to in the startup world, but she said they did have to temporarily stop conversations with the venture capital community about, you know, raising capital just given the market. And I think obviously just an example of something that has been like tough and not wasn't, you know, predicted or part of the plan a couple months ago for them. So I think they're really focused on organic growth as how can we grow mm-hmm. our platform without additional capital at this point, basically. And so I think one of the things you mentioned a couple minutes ago was, you know, being really innovative, because there's not quite as many options from a growth perspective right now. So
yeah, no, I'm seeing that across the board with startups having a little bit of a hard time with capital raising. Obviously, we're still seeing funds being raised, right? I just saw Tia, a women's healthcare focused startup, raise Series A funding. So we are still, so startups are still raising money, but obviously VCs with a current situation are just being a little bit more careful, in particular with their selection of startups that they want to fund. And then another kind of piece in the puzzle, if you think about, you know, valuations, right? And granted, private markets have a little bit of a lag if you look at, you know, its response to macroeconomic factors. If you think about, you know, public markets, they fluctuate right, like almost right away, instantaneously. But private markets, there's a little bit of a lag with valuation and market corrections. And normally it takes, you know, 3 months up to maybe even 12 or 18. But I think that's a little bit expedited right now with the COVID happening. So that kind of plays a role too in all of this. And then lastly, if you think about where VCs get their money from, right? They raise their own funds from LPs. And we've seen or we've heard a number of situations where the LPs that had committed capital actually, you know, backed out or want to defer. So even, you know, funds themselves are having a hard time calling the capital that's been committed to them, right? So if they have now even more limited amount of capital to deploy, obviously they're not going to be able to invest as much as they would like to, even if they see a startup that's like, that they 100% want to fund.
Yeah. And Grace, when you say LPs, you mean limited partners, and examples of a limited partner, those are like often much bigger institutions with money to invest, like a pension plan or Exactly. Along those lines.
Yep.
Yeah, and obviously these are unprecedented times. That's probably, that phrase has probably been mentioned so many times in the past 3 to 6 months. It'll take time for us to kind of understand the actual impact. We a lot of times compare this situation to the global financial crisis 10 years ago or the dot-com boom 20 years ago or even the Great Depression, but this is somewhat different because of the limited movement and mobility and interaction. But what I am curious about is to see how investors, whether they be the various types that Kelsey and Grace just mentioned. But I'd be curious to see if they're waiting to see what types of innovation comes out from this. Typically, a couple of years after these like big global economic events, we typically see a lot of innovation, a lot of creativity. And that's what I'm really excited about. And I wonder if these investors are keeping their powder dry for those really cool things, because we're realizing that we can interact in different ways that we didn't realize before. So I think that will be interesting to see how that evolves. Hey, Lauren. Hey. So talking about innovation, one of the other questions we asked our guests from previous episodes is, what have they learned so far from this experience? And we got a couple of responses, and a lot of them are very interesting. So Ashley, thank you for responding. She had said that, quote, "We are the queens of testing. I am so proud of the way that my team can quickly decide on a test, build whatever infrastructure we need around it, go live, and collect early metrics. And it makes it very quick and easy to make decisions with data. It's all about being nimble now. I'm so grateful that I have that." And I think that's a testament to the entrepreneurial spirit and innovation.
Yeah. And Ashley, you'll remember, she's based in Austin, Texas, and her company Prowess Project provides talent by certifying women who have taken a pause in their careers. And they have an algorithm that matches those women with employers based on skill, experience, and also behavior. And their goal is to create that fit, but at a lower cost for employers and for the potential employees themselves. So I think, again, this interesting time in the economy with all this transition and change, from Ashley's company and her perspective, it's like, how can we best support what's going on? Like, there's going to be big shifts in the way people do business, in the way people are looking and thinking about work. And so for her company, it's really important to move quickly and be ready to support whatever that looks like. I think one of the things she mentioned specifically about testing is that her talent pool is trained to work remotely. That's just one of the pieces that they offer flexibility to employers by being able to bring people in sort of agnostic of location. And one of the things that they've tried to do on the other end is to facilitate more online offerings for training, for getting those folks up to speed and getting the employers up to speed. So they knew that there is a need in the market to work remote, but now it's like all of the pieces of the business, how much can they move to online in order to continue to enable businesses to operate efficiently and find the employees they need to run in this time. So it sounds like it's definitely been challenging. And I think, Michelle, as you said, these challenges, but they're spurring innovation. And it's really exciting to see in some of these companies. So one of the other entrepreneurs, obviously, you mentioned Shruti's app, Compelled. And Shruti shared one thing that I thought was really interesting, again, about, we sort of talked about the speed and the pace of innovation, but Shruti also shared a slightly different perspective, which was that the coronavirus, this pandemic, has really forced her to slow down, and in some ways that's given her more space to be creative. So one thing Shruti shared, and I'll share a quote from her, she said, "On a personal note, a forced slowdown of my formerly crazy pace was an incredible gift and in some ways desperately needed. I think I found more space to be creative in all of it." And so I think that's the other side of the coin for the speed of innovation, but also finding opportunities to pause and reflect and maybe sort of, we all have so many thoughts going a million miles an hour. Like, what does it look like when we give it time to all come together?
Yeah, no, that's a really good perspective. And I think also me personally, I feel like there's an element to not having to get up in the morning to think about having to commute to work and getting ready. I mean, that's a good 2 hours, maybe a little bit more for some people. of your time each day that's just added back to your life, which you could do all sorts of different things like, you know, actually cook a meal or work out more or things like that. So I was also talking to one of our guests from season one, Cassie, who's the founder of Cassie Sable Jewelry. And if you guys recall, she talked about her business of designing and selling costume and fine jewelry. And it's interesting because you would think that, at least on the costume side, that sales are actually going to slow down. But what she had found actually is that because people are stuck at home, people are actually scrolling more on like social media, and she's getting, you know, more traffic into her site because I guess a lot of people just have not much to do, but, you know, go on their phones and check things out. So, and on the flip side, the fine jewelry, she hasn't seen any slowdown at all, but I think that makes sense, right? If you think about price elasticity of luxury goods. So one of the biggest impacts though is the fact that, you know, for a lot of these things, normally she would see her clients, clients would come in and like she would size them and they'd get to check out, you know, she'll get to check out different stones, different cuts. But what ends up happening is her being very creative on how she does that virtually and, you know, using technology and taking a lot of pictures of all of these and sharing them virtually as opposed to having someone come in. And she actually is now based in New York, but she flew to Arizona, which things are a little bit better from a, you know, quarantining perspective in Arizona. So in Arizona, she actually gets to see her clients more than, you know, she would in New York. But that just created a little bit of an additional challenge because her cutters and some of her suppliers are obviously based in New York, and the people who actually manufactures what she designs are in New York. So like doing all that virtually over, you know, over Zoom, over video chat has been a challenge, but she's overcome those challenges. And I think she's been quite happy and grateful that this really hasn't been negatively impacting her business.
So one of the next questions we asked was, what has surprised you the most about your business, your team, or yourself during this time? I think this question was really interesting just to see the range of responses here and how, again, with so much difficulty and so many things made harder over the last few months, being able to find the positives in this situation.
So we talked to Shruti, right? She said that she's really proud of the win-win-win nature of their story. So she launched a couple of programs. The first one is Compelled to Share and the Compelled to Thank programs. And she expressed wanting to see those stick around in some form. They've been very successful so far. They've been very popular and helped them raise money for Frontline Foods, which is an organization, an incredible organization. So I think she's just been proud of how they've made Frontline Foods just as a part of their business for now, and how they've really turned this pandemic into an opportunity to help using her startup.
Yeah, I think that's been really interesting to watch. The Compelled to Think was a way to get people to share these recommendations about what they were doing and finding in this difficult time. And so every time someone shared a recommendation through their app, they were making a donation to Frontline Food with the hashtag Compelled to Think. So it was a really cool feature and initiative for them. And as Shruti said, you know, something that she was really happy with how the community and her team and her company responded. I know for Ashley, she talked a bit about like what's been surprising is that she is seeing growth in her business. And I think one of the things she mentioned was that it feels a little bittersweet given everything that's going on, but there are pockets of growth and her business has designed in a way to, you know, provide help to employers in this time. And it's something that I think obviously has been resonating. So exciting for her, but of course there's some feeling of growth during this time, feeling a little tough, but she has, you know, really proud of her team that they've been able to build something that can make it through these challenging times.
And there are plenty of other entrepreneurs that we have in our lives, some who have not been guests on our podcast yet, but I'm sure all of you, as well as all of our listeners, you all probably know of a lot of these examples. And so some of these will resonate as well. So for example, as a board member of Make-A-Wish Foundation, one of the things that we've done is that in order to bond with each other in our social distancing constraints right now, we're still supporting some fitness instructors who allow us to take fitness classes together. So we did, I think it was yoga most recently. And I think it's a creative way for whether it's larger organizations or non-for-profits, it feels like the communities are coming together in support of each other. A lot of companies are finding ways to just continue their business in the current environment. But one thing that I think will be even more interesting is, will a lot of companies take the model that Peloton, for example, has taken, which is you can mass produce a lot of, whether it's art classes or exercise classes, fitness classes rather, and just make them available in a more financially appropriate manner, as well as just reaching people across geographic boundaries. And I think that is a cool thing that we'll see in terms of companies are trying to be resilient and coming up with creative ways to expand their businesses further.
I just want to go back to the comment that Ashley made about it being sort of bittersweet. Startup that I work for is extraordinarily busy in this time, which is just an interesting concept. But I think the point I want to bring up is more in the vein of how to be a leader in this kind of climate, especially when your business is, I mean, thriving, but just becoming extremely busy. Like, how do you manage and communicate that to employees that are really struggling to find nearly the amount of time that they had before? Or have spouses, partners, et cetera, that are not in that same situation? Like, how do you communicate that in a really empathetic and sensitive way? And I think the more emotionally intelligent leaders across the board, regardless of gender, will probably just thrive in that kind of community, because they'll be able to get close and empathize with their employees better, regardless of if your company's doing good or bad.
That's a great point. And I think we are one of the things Ashley and Shruti have alluded to is just how to manage their team and how to make sure they are showing gratitude to their teams for all of the work that is getting put in during this time. And I think you're exactly right. You know, at any size and level organization, communicating in challenging times, whether it's challenging with growth or challenging, you know, because you're not growing, I think is really important.
Also, it's hard to communicate when overall climate is negative or contracting in some capacity. It's hard to communicate like you're doing well, because you don't want to sound too like overly optimistic and out of touch. You know, you want to say, yeah, we're doing good. We're expanding, or like a lot of people are coming to us to ask for our help now, which is great. But like, we understand that, you know, your spouse might have lost their job. Like, and so it's like hard to kind of manage that communication.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So the last question that we asked was, is there anything you've had to do differently that you might keep doing? So I think this question is really interesting. There's so much change and so much having to like modify how we do things to, I think, as we're all saying each other, like get through it. But again, there's probably some things that we're seeing that these entrepreneurs want to hold on to, and that anyone in this time, when they have this crazy, gigantic reality check, like what are the things that actually you might keep doing that you had to change as a result of COVID?
Yeah, I think what we discussed earlier about Shruti's Compelled to Think program, I think that's definitely something that she, again, she's very proud of, and something that she intends to keep doing even, you know, after all the COVID situation has passed.
Yeah, and I think Ashley, I think it's been interesting for her and for Prowess Project is as they're seeing growth in this time, I think it's really reinforcing for them that they should feel really good about the work they've done and the company they've built and the mission they're on. And I think they're kind of feeling like, hey, this mission is really important. And this is something we're really proud to stand behind, to helping women connect with job opportunities and using technology to do it. So I think for them, it's like this mindset shift of we felt like we were proving ourselves. And now maybe we should be going into the world, into the market, feeling like we actually have something that's really valuable and be excited and proud to stand behind it. Not that they weren't before, but I think as a startup, you're always feeling like there's so much to prove. And for her, she said, Ashley was saying, it's really about the mindset.
I'm so excited that our guests who share their experiences are seeing really great things come out of this challenging time. I would really love to hear at some point stories about entrepreneurs who are like, yep, let me just like take a fresh perspective. This is not going to work and I'm going to fail, but I'm going to fail fast. And I know like anecdotally, we've heard some stories of entrepreneurs who are super successful today, but they also failed many, many times before their current success and they failed quickly. Right now, obviously, is probably not the right time to reach out to people who are failing and failing fast. But eventually, I would love for any of you out there who are listening to us to reach out to us and share those experiences too. Because while they might be challenging decisions in the moment, they probably will spark even more creativity and innovation and a really cool business idea down the road.
The only thing I would add to what you just said is that sort of no matter what side of this you're on, I think as entrepreneurs, there's so much to learn in these kinds of situations. And, you know, just to be able to hear the different lessons coming out of this, whether it's lessons because of tougher times or exciting times or new opportunities or new ways of doing things, that there's just so much to learn. And I'm assuming that those entrepreneurs that have failed a couple times and then find success somewhere, it's because they've been able to take those lessons and apply them to the next thing.
And so on that note, I just want to thank you all for listening in today. We hope that you found these stories and direct quotes from some of our guests and anecdotes, at the very least, a change of pace from other pandemic stories.
Yeah, so check out the episode notes to get more details on the entrepreneurs and businesses highlighted in today's episode.
Let us know what challenges you or your business has overcome as a result of COVID-19. What kind of stuff have you learned? What's changed? And what do you hope to keep sort of as this new state of the world evolves? We'd love to hear some good news during this time. Send us an email at fourofakindpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, spell out the word four. And follow us at Instagram @fourofakindpodcast for all of the latest news, updates, and some more interesting stories about women in business. As always, don't forget to hit subscribe, leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for this episode. And we hope you'll tune in again next time. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Adios. Bye.